she said something in her testimonies, and I smiled because I know what I'm preaching. And she said something in her testimony that life was like a roller coaster. And I'll tell you what, life is like a roller coaster. That was going to be my first statement this morning after we read Philippians 4:13. One of the most familiar verses, a real familiar verse with most Christians, is this verse that we read this morning. It's not a long verse. It's not a deep doctrinal verse, but it certainly is a comforting verse in this life in which we live. We get up every morning and we do not know what we will face. We think we do. We think we have the day planned. And I have found the more I plan my days, the more they do not go by my plans. But the Bible says here, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Short verse, not a real deep message there, but what a confident message it is that we have a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the verse says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We see in the life of Paul, we see in the life of every believer, we see a constant changing of the days. I believe this verse here, as far as a human speaking, probably is one of the most confident statements that I find in the Word of God. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's a very confident message that Paul had in his life. The Lord directed Paul to write that to the people of Philippi, that church that had supported Paul and been a friend to Paul down through his ministry. And Paul says, time and again, you gave to my necessity. And he tells them that because of the Lord, I can do whatever he puts before us. Paul here is not bragging. He is depending. Paul's not presumptuous to say, I can do it and I don't have to have anybody else. He's not saying it in the wrong manner, the wrong way, but he just simply makes a very good statement, a confident statement. And this morning, the message is on confidence that we have and how we get that. But it's one of the most confident statements that you'll find anywhere in the Word of God. Paul knew he could abound. Paul knew that he could be abased. He tells us that there was times he was filled, there was times he was hungry. Paul says he has his good times. He'd suffered, he'd been in jail, and then he'd had those great times when the Lord had delivered him out of the prisons and out of the jails and out of the grip of those that hated him and hated the gospel. And certainly his life was a roller coaster of good high mountains and deep low valleys. And if you've ever ridden a roller coaster, you know how it makes you feel. You have the thrill of the height, and you have the thrill of going down. And then when you get off, you have the not so thrilling, can't walk too well, because you've gone through the changes, you've gone through all the problems, and you've gone through all the motions of that roller coaster. And that's pretty much what life is all about. That's pretty much what life is. It has its ups, it has its downs. Has its mountaintop experiences, and we all praise the Lord for those things. But we also have our valley experiences, where in the valley we learn the Lord's direction and His help. And so when Paul writes to this church, and he tells them, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's Christ that is our strength. Paul had a great confidence. I said a moment ago, he was not bragging, he was depending. For when he said, I can do all things, he said, I'm not dealing with a self-confidence, but I'm having a confidence in one that helps me and one that directs me. In the verses just before this, in Philippians chapter 3, just in that chapter before, Paul tells about some of his confidence that he could have had. He tells about what he was physically. what he was nationally. And Paul said, I might have confidence in the flesh. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 4, I want to read down through verse number 10 as Paul describes, again, this confidence that he could have and who he was and what he had in the things of his flesh. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 4, it says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said, I had every reason in the flesh that I could have confidence and I could depend on who I am and depend on what I am, depend on the things I have had in my life. Paul said, if anybody had that kind of confidence, I would have it more. Now notice the next verse in verse number 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Paul gives you his, what we would call a pedigree. He gives us who he was in the standing of his national people of Israel. He said, on the eighth day, my parents followed the law of Moses and gave circumcision. He said, I'm of the stock of Israel, and I know what tribe I am. He says, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew what God had done for him, how God had blessed him. And he says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a Jew of the Jews. He said, I'm up here as far as you can get, as far as the stock and far as the pedigree of an individual. He says, not only am I a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he says, but touching the law, I was a Pharisee. He was raised as a Pharisee. Now to go back and understand that statement, we need to go back. And we don't have time this morning, but we need to understand a little bit about the Pharisees. The Pharisee of the Jews' religion, two main groups, had Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees were considered probably the conservative. They were the literalist of the law. They kept the law to the T, and they did exactly what the Scripture said, and they believed it was the Word of God. Now they became Pharisaical. We use that word in a negative sense, because in their understanding of the Scripture and their following the Word of God, they became very self-centered. They, over a period of time, became that group that was better than anybody else just simply because of who they were. We talk about people in our generation, well, they're just a Pharisee. And we understand in our system of belief, we understand in our terminology that when we say that they just think they're better than anybody else. And so Paul says here that I was a Hebrew, I was of the stock of Israel, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, and I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, I understood what the Word of God said. That's why Saul, as he was before his salvation, as he was named, that's why he was zealous about the things of God, because he felt as though this new movement that was taking over in Israel of this man called Jesus, he saw that as a threat to his Phariseeism. He saw that as a threat to his family. He saw that as a threat to his nation. And so he worked very diligently to persecute the people of God before the Damascus Road experience that he had. And so Paul here in this book of Philippians, he's telling us who he is. He says in verse number 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He said, I had everything in order. He said, I was a persecutor of the church. And he said, I had zeal in my heart. Notice verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. This individual that he so hated and worked against and even was instrumental in the death of some Christians. He said, all of those things that I had, those things that I thought were so very true and so very good, he said, I counted them lost for this one that I thought was a threat to me and my nation for Christ. Yea, doubtless, in verse 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God of God by faith, that I may know him. Paul said, I want to know him. I don't want to know about him. I don't want to have just statements given, facts given about Jesus Christ. He said, but I've counted everything in my life as waste and nothing that I may know him. Now, we may know about a lot of people, but there's a few people we know. We know our families. We know our parents. We know those closely related to us. And we know about a lot more people. But Paul says here, I want to know him. I've suffered those things that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul's number one doctrine, the number one thing that Paul preached as he traveled his known world was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to know him and the power of the resurrection of the Lord and the fellowship of his suffering. That's a strange statement. Fellowship and suffering do not go together in our minds. But Paul says, I want to know him, and I want to know not just about him. He said, but I want to know him and the resurrection, the power of it, and I want to know the togetherness or the fellowship that I can have with the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul certainly did suffer, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of death. Here the Apostle Paul gives us the pedigree of who he was, and you could not argue about he was a great Jew. You could not argue that he was not what he said he was, because he tells you all the way down to his tribe and his other places, he tells us about his family. So Paul had confidence, I can do all things. I can do all things. And the companion that he had is the same companion you and I have this morning. I can do all things through Christ. Now, it doesn't take us long to realize that if I'm going to be presumptuous and braggadocious about who I am and what I can do, and I go out and say, well, I can handle this. I can take care of that. Before long, we'll find out I can't handle it. We'll find out I can't take care of it, because I must have someone that will help me. I must have someone that will go along beside me. And so Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, that companion that he met that day on the Damascus Road there in Acts chapter number 8. From that Damascus Road time until his death, the Lord was the faithful companion of the Apostle Paul. Your Damascus time, your day, or your moment of salvation, whenever it might have been from that moment on, thank God we have a constant companion. We have that one that never leave us, never forsake us. She was giving her testimony this morning. I said, wow, she's just helping me get ready to get started. He is the one that we can depend on. He's the one that helps us. And he is that companion in the high times and the low times and all the other times that we have in our life. We realize that we have a God that loves us. We have a Savior that cares about us. He cares for us, and we can therefore cast all of our cares upon him. Amen. Do you have cares this morning? Are there problems in life this morning? It would probably shock us if we would be honest of how many cares and how many problems are sitting right here in this small group of people. We don't want to share them with each other. some of them maybe, but there are some things that just nobody's business. There are some things that are very personal. There are some things that belong to us and no one else. But I'm glad I have a companion. That everything that I think is so very personal to me, thank God he understands. Thank God he knows. Thank the Lord he can come and be that companion. And so therefore, Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, for he is my companion. In Acts chapter number 18, verse number 9, says, Then spake the Lord to Paul in a night vision, be not afraid, but speak, hold not thy peace. Paul, you talk, you speak, and don't worry about what is being said. Why could he do that? He says, For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. That's a pretty good promise. Amen. Paul, here's what you need to say. You say it, and don't worry about anybody else because I'm taking care of you. That gives you some confidence that I can do all things through Christ. Brother Gallagher read this morning one of our chapters, Isaiah 58, that first verse. The Lord told Isaiah, speak, don't hold your peace. He tells Paul here, he says, you speak, be not afraid, hold not thy peace, don't worry about it because I am with thee and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee because the Lord says, I have much people in this city. Paul, there are people here that need to hear the gospel. There are people here that need to hear the message. And do not worry about how hard you talk and how strong your speech is. No matter what anybody says, I'm with you and I will be with you all the way through. And no one, no man, no person is going to set on you to hurt you. I'm with you. What a blessed thought that is, that we have a companion. We have one that will help us. Acts 23, verse number 11. It says, And the night following, the Lord stood by him. This is Paul. And this, of course, is the account of Paul on the ship that was being tossed to and fro. And Paul says, The Lord stood by me and said, Be of good cheer. Now, the ship's about to go down. Here's a crazy preacher saying, don't worry about it. Why could Paul say that? Why could Paul make such, humanly thinking, such an absurd statement when the storm is raging and the boat is cracking up? And why could Paul make a statement, be of good cheer? Paul says, For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Paul had a ticket to Rome and nothing was going to stop his procedures. The Lord says, You're going to bear witness in Rome. If the boat breaks apart, that it did, then he said, You're still going to Rome. Don't worry about it, Paul. I'm with you. This morning, there's times that maybe we wake up in the middle of the night over situations. We wake up in the middle of a good sleep, and all of a sudden the devil brings on some things to it, and we begin to worry and fret when we ought to say, Lord, you're with me, and you can handle it, you can take care of it, you can deal with it, and so go lay back down and go to sleep. Now that's easy for me to say back here, but y'all see some nights of my tossing and turning. That's what I ought to do. That's what I try to do. But sometimes it still is ever before us. Thank God this morning we have a companion. And he's there to help us. He's going to strengthen us. That's the commitment of the Lord. And he is before us. We're in a walk of life. Someone has said life is like a marathon. It's not like a mad dash, 100-yard dash. It's a long-haul marathon. That's what life is all about. And from the time I met the Lord and from the time you met Christ, from the time he saved you, thank God you have a companion that can give you strength to do whatever you need to do in his will. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul says, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, If I live, it's good. If I die, it's still good. If I live, it's Christ, and I tell people about the Lord. If I die, then I'm with the Lord. We're on the winning side. There's no way a child of God can lose, because with life we are Christ with us, with life leaving us and death approaching us, then we're going to be where He is, never to depart from Him ever again. But in this verse, of just a few words, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In these verses, in these words that Paul gives to us, I see some five or six things that are very important. The very first word in that is the word I. You know, the biggest problem I have in my life is I. That's the biggest disturbance that I have. He's the one that buffets me and problems me, and the devil can sometimes get a hold of us, and I am the problem. I am, we've heard it said, and we've even said it, I'm my own worst enemy. But Paul says here, I've got the responsibility, and and the Lord says to stand fast in the faith, and quiet you like men, be strong. Paul said, I can do that. There's nothing that we do that's outside of the human element of life. We are humans. We are people made in the image of our God. And I know that God is God, and man is man, and it is our personal responsibility to depend upon the Lord. You know, the Lord can help us. The Lord can do anything for us that He so chooses. And sometimes we feel like, well, if the Lord's going to do it, I don't have to do anything. But my responsibility is to be faithful to the Lord. My responsibility is to say, I can. My responsibility is to depend upon Him. Too many of God's children sat idly around expecting the Lord to do everything for them. That's probably come from the influence of our government that hands out everything to us. You know why they can't get health care taken care of? Because they've given too much away, and if you take it back, you're not going to be in office. The wicked and the progressives and the devil, he's very, very, they're very sharp. If I give him $100, he's going to vote for me. And if so-and-so over here, if he takes it away, he's going to vote for me anyway. And so that's the thinking in America today, is how much can they give me? How much can I get from them? Well, I'll tell you what, you can only get what's been put in, unless you have trillions of dollars of debt that will never be paid. And so we find this morning we have lost our responsibility in this country. Most people are not responsible in their life. I heard a preacher preaching this morning, said, if you want to be successful in life, don't spend more than you make. That's pretty good advice. Because when you spend more than you make, you become a slave to those you owe. Become a slave to that one that holds over you. And so this morning, responsibility is that we are to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be resolved and to realize I can do. I have that responsibility that I can do those things. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I can do it. I can follow His direction, and therefore He will give me blessing because of that. Can't, I'm sure you've heard this little statement, can't never did anything. I can't do it. That means you're not going to try. I can't. I just can't. As a child of God, we ought to have some responsible resolve that to say, I can. If the Lord directs me, if the Lord helps me, then I can. Confidence is the key to having and keeping things going in the life of a believer. We need to realize that what we do is only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said a moment ago, Paul didn't say braggingly, I can do anything. He said, I can do it through Christ. That's being dependent and having a realization that what I have is not because of me. What I have is because of Him. what I own, what I live, where I go, what I do, the air I breathe, the water I drink, the food I eat. Everything is because of Him. Therefore, I can do. The key to our confidence in the face of insurmountable adversity is our helper, that constant companion that goes beside us. The reason that I can do and the reason that you can do and the reason that we can have confidence this morning that we can follow the Lord is because we have a great helper beside us, pushing us on, trudging us on, leading us on, helping us in the way to make us realize that it's through Christ. I'm a Christian this morning because of Him. I've been reading some things this week, very controversial things, and it's amazing how much truth is, or how much error is mixed in truth in both all sides. You and I this morning, we are what we are because of our helper, because of our Lord. I would have never come to know Jesus Christ if the Holy Spirit had not pricked my heart and let me realize and teach me and let me know that I needed God. The reason we're having so much problem in our nation this morning is that we are literally educating our children that there is no God. And we don't have to worry about faith. We don't have to worry about the unknown. It's just what we can do right now. But my friend, it's much more than that. I have an adversary, but thank God I have a helper. I have one that's against me, but I have one that's for me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is our helper, if God is our leader, if the Lord is our Savior, then who is the world to say I cannot follow Him? Who is the world, and what is the world that would say you can't do it because we don't believe that anymore? Without Him, we can do nothing. With Him, we can do all things through Christ. You legislate God out, our country has done that. You educate God out, our country has done that. Now we see the end results of a country that knows not God. Romans chapter 1. We talk about Romans 1 a lot. There's been a lot of sermons on that. But I believe the most damning thing in any nation is when they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. And there's where we are. We don't want to talk about God. We don't want to talk about religion. We don't want to talk about the Bible. We just don't want it. Few places, a little different, but nationally, for the most part, we do not know God. Politics set aside, I thank God for our governor. Do I agree with him on everything? No, never will. But I'm glad he's a man that knows God and he's not ashamed of it. Signed a bill this week that it makes it possible for the Word of God to be taught in public schools. Confidence in the face of insurmountable adversity. And we can face it because of our companion. What's the song? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know what's out there tomorrow. And I may never see tomorrow. But because he lives, I'm going where I'm going. I'm facing what I'm facing. Realization that everything we have is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he strengthens us. That's a reliance. When the Lord told Paul, said, you're going to Rome, he could be strengthened in that. Paul knew he wasn't going to die. The Lord had already said, you're going to Rome. He said, just as you testified in Jerusalem, you're going to testify in Rome. Now the ship's going down and the storm is raging. And the men are worried, but Paul, you're going to Rome. You know what? Paul could lay his head down that night And because there stood by him that night the angel of the Lord, he said, whose I am. And he could rest in that. He could have comfort in that because the Lord had revealed to him, you're going to Rome. Nothing is going to stop your trip to Rome. So our ship may be going down and our problems may be coming up. But you know what? We've got a ticket punched. If we believe the Lord, we're going to heaven. Our service is before him and his love is for us. And we can rely upon him because he strengthens us. Paul tells Timothy in that second letter to him in chapter 4, says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Everybody turned against Paul, he said, but the Lord didn't. Your friends may fall by the wayside. Your family may turn their back. But Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Doesn't matter who's with us as long as the Lord is with us. He says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And here's the reason. That by me the preaching might be fully known and that all Gentiles might hear. God had a purpose for Paul. He told him that purpose in Acts chapter number 8 when he got saved. I wasn't going to, hadn't even thought about turning there. But let's turn over to Acts chapter number 8. I think I can find it. Acts chapter 9, I'm sorry. The Lord tells Paul, he says, I have a message for you. Paul says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And he says, I have a message for you to preach. You're going to stand before kings. You're going to stand before priests. You're going to stand before the nation. God gave him that plan. And so he preached Christ in the synagogues. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ to kings. He preached it to princes. He preached it to everybody he was around. And Paul says, that's God's plan for me. He's standing with me so I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We rely upon him. And he gives us rest. One of these days, and I think soon and very soon, we're going to find our rest in the Lord. The book of Hebrews talks about that rest for the child of God. And one of these days, we're going to be with him. One of these days, our labors are going to be over. And one of these days, we're going to say farewell, world, farewell. O death, where's your victory? Grave, where's the victory you have? Death, where's your sting? As we go up to be with the Lord, we'll say, we've done all that we've done because the Lord stood with us. He sort of got locked arm that day we trusted Christ. The Holy Spirit of God moved in our soul, in our life, never to depart. That Holy Spirit is there to direct us and to help us and to show us. And the Lord Jesus is right there with us, standing with us. So Paul could have confidence amidst the roller coaster of his life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If God would do that for Paul, Peter, I guess it's last Sunday we read this verse, Peter come to the conclusion that God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't respect the Jew any more than he does the Gentile. And so, if God is no respecter of person, Paul could say, I can do these things through Christ. Guess what? Lawrence can say that too. And put your name there. You can say that also. We can do all things through Christ because he strengthens us. Let's stand together this morning.